Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good middle of the night, and welcome back to Cases of Color. I am your host, Randy Baum, and I'm so glad you guys are here with me. You guys, the world has taken a crazy turn since the last time we talked. I have been out here homeschooling. I firmly believe that all teachers need a raise at this point. I love my children. They're great children, but just, you know, teaching is one hell of a job. So just to all my teachers who are listening, I just want you to know I appreciate you and I thank you for everything that you do on a regular basis for these kids. You guys are not appreciated enough. Quick update about my family. My family is just fine. They're doing all right. No one is sick in my family, thank goodness. And I hope that it stays that way. You know, my mom is an essential worker, so she does have to go to work because she can't work from home. She doesn't have that luxury. So, you know, just keep my mom in your thoughts and prayers. She's being as careful as she possibly can be, but still somebody who is on my mind. And all of you essential workers out there, I want to say thank you for everything that you guys do every day. We could not survive without our grocery store workers, our mail people, the people who are bringing the countless Amazon packages that I know I have ordered and things like that. Thank you very much for everything that you do, because without you guys, we wouldn't be able to stay afloat. Us people who are staying home, we need those items, and without you, things just don't happen. So I just want to say thank you very much to all of you out there that are listening. Today's case is a little bit of a shorter case because there isn't a bunch of information out there that isn't repetitive, but this case was actually given to me by a user. He said that he knows the male, because this is a case where two people are missing, but he said that he knows the man who is missing, went to high school with him actually. So I said, oh, let me look into this case. And this was a very interesting case to say the least. I don't even know how else to word it, but interesting. What happened? Why did it happen? There's so many questions, so many variables when it comes to this case. I want to say thank you to that user that gave that to me. Today's case happened on April 1st, 2016. It's about Sydney Taylor and Chrislyn Gibson. Sydney Taylor and Chrislyn Gibson attended Aldine High School together. They also went to Sam Houston College around the same time. Sydney, after college, got married and had four kids. Chrislyn was a single mom. She had a son. So every year they used to hang out, and apparently it was known to Chrislyn's father as a platonic friendship. So on the Friday that they left, they were going to a music festival in Austin. They wanted to hang out, go have some fun. They went down to Austin, Texas, and they were going to be staying with a friend of Sydney's named Jared. Jared Hemphill, to be exact. But Jared worked nights. So Jared had a friend of his, Harvey Cyphers, left a key out for them to be able to get into his home and drop their things off, and then linked them up with a man named Harvey Cyphers. Now, Harvey Cyphers is Jared's friend, but Cyphers and Taylor aren't strangers to each other either. They've actually known each other for some time. They've been acquaintances for years. I'm gonna assume through Jared. Nobody really said how, but they had known each other prior to this. So Harvey Cyphers is not somebody who Sydney had never met. Now, I'm not sure if Chrislyn had ever met him, but I know that Sydney did not. And just to be clear, Sydney Taylor is the male who went missing. Chrislyn Gibson is the female who went missing. So Cyphers decides to take them to a strip club called The Landing Strip. It is described by people who live in Austin as not one of the nicer gentlemen's clubs that's there. It's more of a seedy location, more of an underground location. So around late in the evening on what would now be Saturday, because it was after midnight, around 3 o'clock in the morning, Jared realizes that Sydney and Chrislyn have not returned to his home. So he gets a little worried and he calls Sydney, and Sydney just kind of shrugs it off. He's like, oh, you know, we're with Harvey. So he confirmed that they were with Harvey. And then another text message is sent from Jared at around 3:52, like, hey, why haven't they come back? And that is the last contact that gets made with Sydney or Chrislyn where anyone knows anything back, because he did not get a response back to that text message that he sent at 3:52 a.m. So on Sunday, Chrislyn's father starts to get worried because it's not normal for Chrislyn to go this long without talking to her son. The last time Chrislyn's father could remember talking to her was on Friday when they left, because he called to get the password to her son's Xbox game so that he would be able to play it. So Friday was the last time he talked to her. And I know some people might say, oh, well, why would you let a whole day go by? You got to keep in mind, she's a single mother. He was watching his grandchild. He probably just was like, oh, you know, she's having fun. Let her have her fun. But he knew that not more than a day would go by without her reaching out to her kids. So he said after church on Sunday is when he really started to get worried, and he called the Austin police. And when he called them, they agreed with him that something was definitely up and something did not seem right. And they ruled out the possibility of them just up and leaving their jobs and family. You know, both of them had really good jobs, and Sydney was married. He had a wife. He had 4 children. He was very close to his mother, very close to his family. And even his mom said, I do not believe it is possible that my son just up and left his whole family, left me, left his wife, left his children. I do not believe that. On April 5th, 2 days after they were reported missing, Sydney Taylor's Dodge Charger was found back in Houston. There was no explanation or any information, just somehow the vehicle made its way back from Austin to Houston. So once forensics get to look at the car, they start to see that it is clear that something gruesome happened in the vehicle. Something that they think most likely resulted in death. Blood was found on the rear passenger floorboard. There was blood splatter throughout the car. And from the look of it, it is believed that whatever happened was deadly. They don't know to who or if it was both parties, but there's definitely blood from both parties. There's also hair and blood found in the trunk, as well as like the inner liner of a shower curtain. So Harvey Cipher is somebody who they came back to. After looking into phone records, it proved that Sydney and Chrislyn around 3 o'clock were not still at the landing strip like Harvey said. They were actually around the area of Harvey Cipher's home and where that is located. Around 7 o'clock that Saturday morning is when you can track all 3 phones, Harvey's phone, Sydney's phone, and Chrislyn's phone, traveling back towards Houston. So Cipher's phone, his signal stops where the car was found, and then he makes multiple calls to a company called Megabus. That is just a bus transportation service like Greyhound or anything you might be more familiar with. And he actually then takes a route. Again, they tracked his phone, but he takes a route that mirrors a Megabus route back to Austin, Texas, all on that Saturday. So a warrant was issued to search Cipher's home because he did admit to being a felon and possessing firearms. I think he was maybe being upfront about it, so it would kind of quote unquote lessen speculation. But what they did is they used that search warrant to then look for other things. And what they found was blood evidence, as well as a receipt from Walmart that had a lot of very eyebrow raising items on it. I was unable to find a list of what items were on it. However, another thing that they did discover in the house was that it was very clear that blood was in the house, blood was in the home that was sampled and picked up, and also that it was clear that someone tried to clean up whatever happened in the house. It wasn't like it was just left there. It was very clear that someone tried to clean up whatever was in the house. They spent a total of 20 hours processing Cipher's residence, and they found blood, other evidence as well, other biological evidence as well, and they definitely believe that an act of violence occurred at that location. That was their conclusion that they came up with after everything that they found. And to date, 11 search warrants have been obtained and served by the Austin Police Department. After they collect all this blood evidence, they are like, okay, we just got to send this to the lab. We got to get it processed. And then boom. What happens is, for some reason that I could not find, Austin Police Department shut down their DNA testing lab, which halted multiple cases to include this one. So they had this blood evidence, they had all these things that they found in the home and could not test it. And they weren't able to test it for a while, like a long time. Because again, you have all these other cases that have already piled up. You have this case that has happened as well. And unfortunately, because there was no body and other things like that, this case didn't take priority like a lot of these cases that I talk about didn't. And it literally got pushed to the wayside, unfortunately. So they were able to go forward with processing the case for a long time. An update that I found is in March of 2019, there was a news clip posted about Harvey Cipher actually being indicted. He was indicted for trying to alter or conceal blood, biological material, a motor vehicle, a cell phone, text messages, a bath mat, a shower liner, shower curtains, and bath towels, that he altered, destroyed, or concealed other evidence knowing an investigation was pending and in progress, and tampered with corpses after knowing a murder or assault offense has been committed. Now, I wasn't able to find too much after the fact. Literally, March 2019 is the last thing I was able to find, and I searched high and low. I am guessing here. I'm thinking that if this is what they charged him with, they have found some type of evidence to prove that after everything happened, he did things or took precautions to ensure that those bodies would not be found and different things like that. Because again, it wasn't until 2019 that this man was indicted. So I am thinking that that's what happened with that. Some theories that I saw and that I somewhat do believe, but again, they are just theories. They are just my thoughts and things that I am deciding. I am not giving any validity to these things or saying that they actually happened. But the thing is, we don't know a motive. We don't know what exactly occurred. So this is just me theorizing here. Number one, something that did get brought up, but then I only saw brought up a couple times, and I noticed that they really pushed the narrative about this platonic friendship. I'm going to give my personal opinion. I don't believe that they were platonic friends. I just don't. There were some rumors that she was his side piece and things of that nature. I didn't see not one statement from his wife that I could find anywhere. If anyone can find one, please let me know, because I searched high and low and I didn't see anything. Everything that I've seen come out has been from the parents. I haven't seen anything come from his wife at all. So that kind of struck me as odd, because you would think my husband is missing. I would want to say something. I mean, on Crime Watch Daily, on the news, you name it, everything is just his, you know, Sydney's mom and Kristen's father. You know, and Kristen didn't have a significant other. She did not have a spouse. So I wouldn't expect that for her. But for him, the fact that there's no news clips with his wife pleading for them to find her husband raises a lot of questions for me. And I'm not going to accuse her of anything. I would never do that. But I am going to say that I don't believe that even she believes that they were just platonic friends. And that's just that on that. And this is me speaking as somebody who has a male platonic friend, but there are still limits and boundaries to our relationship because we're both married people. Like, there's still a respect level that's had for my husband and for his wife. So I don't know. Something about that is very suspicious. And there were some rumblings about her being a side piece, that they were messing around. I saw a few online people say, I knew those two. They were definitely messing around. Kristen was definitely his side piece. This was their yearly thing that they did together under the guise of friendship. Again, I don't know the validity of that. This is just me saying allegedly things that I saw from people who claim to know these two parties. And there was also some police speculation as well about it. Now, I don't know if the families have worked hard to diffuse it, because something I noticed that I didn't notice in a lot of other cases is that it's like almost like it's pushed in there, like they are known as platonic friends, yet they're being called the couple throughout certain articles. So I'm very curious as to why that let's push the platonic friend narrative. It's like it's just thrown in as like a lone sentence in so many articles. It's like it almost seems like it's unnaturally thrown out there. You know, when somebody is going out of their way to give you a bit of information, like to make themselves seem believable. That's how I perceived it when I read it, because I do a lot of research on these cases and I'm just like, okay, y'all are really driving this home. And it's just like things are not making sense. Something that I think might have happened, I'm thinking maybe Harvey tried to hit on Krislyn or maybe even make a physical pass at her. Sydney wasn't okay with it. Maybe he killed Sydney. Maybe he assaulted Krislyn. Maybe he killed both of them. I mean, there's so many things that could have happened. And not saying that he didn't kill Krislyn at all, but maybe there was something behind it. The only thing I could think of is maybe some type of jealousy thing, or Krislyn being the focus of Harvey's affection or attention and Sydney not being with the shits, whether it be as a friend or as her boyfriend type of situation, like you can't talk to my woman or don't press up on my friend like that, one of the two. And then it turned into something else. You know, if Harvey was a hothead, he was a felon, he did have a very checkered past, it's a possibility that he maybe tried to make a move on Krislyn or something of that nature. And like I said, Sydney just was not with it, checked him about it, and then it went left from there. And then at that point, things had just gone too far. I mean, there's no way we'll ever know. To this day, Harvey Cyphers has not admitted to anything. He's not confessed to anything. Bodies have not been located. And I think that is the part that is the most heartbreaking when it comes to this case, is that regardless of what they were, weren't doing, what happened, what didn't happen, etc., what we do know is not only are these two missing, something definitely happened to them, number one. And number two, the families have no resolution. They don't. And that to me is the biggest disservice in this case and cases like this case, because the families don't get to allow this soul to rest in peace, but they don't get to rest. This man's mother does not get to properly mourn her son. Like, something that she said was, he has something that belongs to me and I need him to give it back to me so that I can send him back to God where he came from. And regardless of what you believe, that's still a very sad sentiment to hear a mother have to express about her child. So I say all of that to say, if you know of any information or if you've heard anything about this case and feel like you can contribute something, please contact the Austin Police Department Homicide Cold Case and Missing Persons Unit at 512-974-5250 or Crime Stoppers at 512-472-TIPS or text TIP103 plus your message to CRIMES, and that's the phonetic alphabet that is on the phone. I will also leave that same information in the description box of this podcast, you guys. Please be ready for Sunday. I have a bonus episode coming. It is about a potential serial killer, and I think it's very interesting how this whole thing has happened and kind of why some stuff is up in the air and why, again, we're not hearing about stuff like this because of the type of victims. So I really look forward to sharing that with you all. Some of you asked for some bonus content and episodes, so I definitely want to give that, especially since I have a lot more time on my hands. And now that we've gotten into the swing of things with homeschooling and self-isolating and things like that, I'm excited to be bringing you some additional content. So again, you guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the Cases of Color family. If you are not following me on Instagram and Twitter, what are you doing? Follow me at Cases of Color on both platforms, Instagram and Twitter. I post about new episodes. I love to talk to you guys. And if there is a case that you want me to talk about, please contact me. If you have some good source information, send me that too, because I love to kind of hit the ground running when I start doing research on things, especially cases that I'm not familiar with. And on Sunday, I'm going to start honorable mentions to some of the smaller cases that do not have any follow-up or any additional information. So I look forward to sharing that information with you guys as well. So with that being said, have a good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and a good middle of the night.